It's the world's biggest humanitarian crisis, and it seems to be getting worse. Thousands of people are on the move, fleeing from both war and famine. And of all the countries affected, Kenya, Ethiopia, Uganda and Djibouti, it's Somalia which is most stricken, with half of its 7 million population at severe risk. Tens of thousands of its citizens have already died, and attempts to save the others are being hampered by a lack of money and weak administration. While the UN-sponsored government, the transitional government, has complained of food hoarding by some aid agencies, the Al-Shabaab militia says these NGOs have no business in the areas they control. So what's to be done? This week, Africa Today asks whether there's really an alternative to Western aid in the crisis in Somalia.
Western aid is failing to reach victims of famine in Somalia and the Horn of Africa, according to Somalia's Prime Minister Abdiwaly Mohamed Ali. The UN received the heaviest criticism after it was accused of failing to distribute aid supplies to the needy. Despite claims to the contrary, the radical group Al-Shabaab has not lifted the ban on UN Food Agency, World Food Programme and other top aid organisations from operating in the Somalia. The group, which controls most of the country, believed aid agencies are tools of Western propaganda. With their ban still in force, critics are questioning the effectiveness of aid distribution across the West-hit areas of the country. With the persistent situation unlikely to change in the near future, Africa Today asks if there is an alternative to Western aid in famine-hit Somalia.
Hello, I'm Henry Bonsu and this is Africa Today. Somalia exports more refugees than almost any other country in the world, and it's easy to see why. No functioning government since the departure of Siad Barre in 1991, and now a battleground in the proxy war between the US and Al-Qaeda, which has dragged in several other countries. For weeks now, pictures of famine and death have been broadcast from the Somali regions of southern Bakool and Lower Shabelle, and the world's largest refugee camp, Dadaab, in eastern Kenya. Finally, though, the world is swinging into action. But what kind of action? And although the Western-led pledges from Britain and the US have been condemned as too little too late, they've not yet been matched by action from African or Eastern governments like, say, Qatar, Saudi Arabia or South Africa. So what's the alternative? With me in the studio are Abdullahi Osman, the director of the Somali London-based organisation Access for Support and Development Centre, Bafour Ankoma, editor of New African, and on the phone from Nairobi, Kenya, we have Farhan Ali Ahmed, the Secretary General of the Somali Concern Group. And we'll start with you, Farhan, as you're closest to the ground. How do you assess the situation? We've got all this aid now that's being pledged. The UN says we need something like more than $2 billion. But what do you think is actually happening?
At the moment, actually, the situation in Somalia is a humanitarian crisis, and what is needed at the moment in the ground, it is a humanitarian emergency aid in response in emergency aid in response to a humanitarian crisis in Somalia. I just come from in Mogadishu, and people in Mogadishu are really a desperate need of food, water, medical care, and of conflict and natural disaster.
And in which area of Mogadishu are they, and who's controlling it? Is it Al-Shabaab, or is it the transitional government?
In Mogadishu, as far as I know, and is controlled by the transitional federal government. And there are so many children and elderly people coming from the areas controlled by Al-Shabaab.
And what kind of aid is getting through? What kind of things are being allowed in, and who is responsible for getting them in?
The local people, the local Somali people, are organized and trying to pour their resources to help their brothers and sisters who are in desperate position. Although the transitional federal government, the top lead with the president and the prime minister, also trying to appeal to the wider community to help those who are in a desperate position. And also there are international and also Arab aid agencies who are coming to Mogadishu these days. So there are some helpings, but I'm sure it is not enough for the current situation. It is the lives of people are really in desperate position.
We've seen the pictures, they're truly awful. But what I want to know is, are the people in Somalia, in Mogadishu, aware of where the help is coming from? And does their attitude vary depending on whether the help has come from Western agencies, the World Food Programme, Oxfam, Britain, the United States, or whether it's come from the African Union or the United Arab Emirates or Saudi Arabia or even Japan, who are all trying to help?
Actually, the local people are now getting aware that some aids are coming from the Arab states like Qatar and Kuwait and also international like the European Union, but not so far in Africa. And as far as I heard, there's a news that an African Union says they are going to host a donor conference for Somali drought victims on August the 9th in Addis Ababa, where they are going to appeal to African nations or African brothers to bring you whatever they can to those who are suffering Somalia.
Indeed, they have pledged that. Thank you very much, Farhan Ali Ahmed, on the line from Nairobi, Kenya. Let's come back to the studio now. We have Abdullahi Osman, the director of the Somali London-based organisation Access for Support and Development Centre. What would you make of that then? So aid is coming in, but not everybody's getting it. And there seems sometimes to be a problem if the aid is coming in from the US, from Britain, from the World Food Programme. If it's an Al-Shabaab area, it may not be getting through because, as our reporter said at the beginning of the programme, they have not unbanned those organisations that were banned over a year ago.
Right. The charity I work for, Access for Support and Development Centre, which is a registered charity here in the UK, also we operate in Somalia, working in partnership with local Somali NGOs who are based up and down the country. So for the last few weeks, we were very, very busy trying, for example, to pull all the resources and the capacities we do have, and we formed what we call Somali Consortium for Relief and Emergency in order to respond to this disaster effectively and efficiently.
Are you pooling your resources with the World Food Programme, with the Disasters Emergency Committee here in this country, or are you doing this separately and saying this is a Somali operation?
Actually, this is a Somali approach because at the moment there is no single international NGOs operating or trying to help the people who are suffering inside Somalia. And also, so far, the Al-Shabaab, they have said that they banned some of international NGOs. But
Do you approve of that move, or do you think that's a terrible move?
It is a terrible move. But we haven't seen, for example, any international NGOs who wanted to help to the people who have been affected by the drought, who have been refused to go there. But the Al-Shabaab, they actually issued the ban. But there are other alternatives, for example, the local Somali NGOs, they have the ability to reach to those who have been affected inside Somalia. But also, if you look on the ground, even those who have managed to reach to the refugee camps in Kenya or in Djibouti, in Ethiopia, they're not getting anything.
Well, some are. Some people are. I mean, I've seen them on television myself. You'll see a child whose mother has walked for 3 weeks, barely alive, and then a few days later, and I've seen this on various television stations, including this, thanks to some aid, thanks to some basic nutrition, thanks to a place of shelter and rest, the child has begun to recover. So that is happening to some.
Yes, but that's a very few of some cases which had the lucky to capture the video camera. But from the through the media, what we have seen is that even the people take it weeks and weeks to be registered in the refugee camps themselves. When they go there, there's no shelter. It is a very hot season, windy, no food, no even sanitation, nothing at all out there in the refugee camps. And also, we don't know the reason, for example, people are being invited to become refugees.
Yeah.
Why they don't get help inside Somalia?
Maybe it's too dangerous where they are. Maybe that's one of the reasons why women and their children will have to walk for 2 to 3 weeks to a place of safety in northern Kenya. But let's move to Bafo Ankuma from New African. You've heard some of the criticism of the Western aid. It's not getting through. It's not adequate. But what about the African Union's own position? I understand that so far they've committed something like $500,000, which sounds very, very small when you consider the overall $2 billion plus that Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General, has called for. Is this an indictment on African inability to help ourselves?
It's horrendous, isn't it?
Half a million, $500,000.
For 54 countries?
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually beats my mind.
Yeah.
Half a million is how much Abacha put in the Swiss bank, which or in the Western banks, we do have money in Africa. And why do we always have to wait and wait till the Western world? You're asking about alternative.
Yes.
Why can't we help ourselves? 54 countries, we can. And the AU is now going to call a donors conference.
That's
donors
right. Conference. August the 9th. How many days from this? It's over a week.
My word. Donors conference is not even coming from us.
Yeah.
If they made an appeal to even the African diaspora out there, all of us sitting here, and say pay $1 each, we'll have more than that.
Yeah.
It's a huge indictment, and I think time has arrived that the African tried to help himself.
But if it's a huge indictment, and the African community, both on the continent and around the world, has been slow to get involved, that means then there appears to be no alternative right now to Western intervention, to Western-inspired donor intervention. So World Food Programme, you know, Britain, EU, the United States, even if they're criticised right here on this programme, if they weren't there at all, who would be helping?
That is what I'm saying. If they were not there at all, it means that these Somalis would die.
Yeah.
When we have 54 countries, now we have South Sudan, so we have 54 countries.
Yeah.
Can 54 countries help themselves? We can pull our resources together and help our brothers. But the alternative now is that if El-Shabaab, I understand that El-Shabaab controls the sapping tape.
Yeah.
It means that they are part of Mogadishu, as our brother has said, under the transitional government. So why can't they distribute aid in the areas controlled by the transitional government? If the RFP and all these ones are not being allowed in, they could pass on the aid to groups like what my brother has said, the local African group, the local Somali groups, who can go to this area.
So yeah, because many Africans find it, you know, it hurts them in their gut that the reliance on Britain, France, the EU, you know, the World Food Programme, because you know Africa is rich and it's fertile.
Yeah.
And you would think that when you see your brothers and sisters there, the Africans should be in there first. We shouldn't need Western intervention, shouldn't need even the World Food Programme.
Absolutely. The reality is that the African continent, they can have, they do have the resources and the and ability to mobilize those sources, but what today is missing is mobilizing. So I would like to call the African Union to take that leading role and to mobilize the Africans wherever they are, in the African in diaspora, Africans in the continent.
But the question is whether or not the areas controlled by Al-Shabaab, whether the Al-Shabaab leaders themselves would say, okay, this is an African intervention, therefore we will allow it to come in. Because, of course, when it comes to the African Union troops, they've been fighting them for quite some time, and it's, a lot of lives have been lost.
Yeah. Well, okay, for example, the Al-Shabaab, they do control some areas, but the people now, they are fleeing even to the area controlled by the African peacekeeping mission and the transitional federal government. And also there are makeshift refugee camps out there, but no one going and supporting those people even. And also there are other parts in the country who are relatively stable and peace, like the Northern Eastern Party, like the Somaliland, while the international NGOs and the United Nations don't go there and even open a refugee camp in those regions. And
It could very well be they'll have to get the permission of the Somaliland government and
back. I think that the Somaliland are Somalis.
Yeah.
And the people and those who are dying are Somalis. And that it wouldn't be the case. But the problem is there is no will and try.
Well, because perhaps people have seen what's happened in Dadaab in Kenya, because when that was originally opened some 20 or so years ago,
yeah,
it was for 90,000 people. Now there's nearly 500,000, so you can see why some governments, regional governments, neighbouring governments, may be a bit worried about even extending the hand of friendship. Let's find out what you've been saying. Love to hear what you have to say. Now, here's some Facebook messages, emails and texts that have come in. The first Facebook post is from Anver in Tanzania, who says, I don't understand why the West thinks aid is the solution to Africa's woes. It's high time they engage constructively with Africa and genuinely help the continent to be self-reliant and sustainable. This email from Mohamed Abdi from Mogadishu. A new UN report says what Africa lacks is the capacity to store its own food. So why hasn't the UN and other Western countries helped us to do this? I think the answer is they want us to come begging all the time so they can plunder our resources even more. And finally, this text from Chika Chidera in Nigeria. Lessons have to be learned from this severe drought in Somalia. Western nations must stop experimenting with our lives and our land. Keep your thoughts flowing to us. Email africa@presstv.co.uk and text +44 78 00 00 8086 and Facebook fan page Africa Today, Press TV London. Let's go back to Nairobi, Kenya. Fahana, I don't know what you make of what you've heard so far, but there seems to be a sense in which the local countries, the ones bordering Somalia, aren't able to get in there and help the people efficiently. And then we have concerns about Western intervention because Africans themselves should be doing more. It sounds as though the people of Somalia are caught between a rock and a hard place. What do you think the solution might be?
Well, I think this crisis, it is actually a humanitarian crisis. And when it comes like this scale, a humanitarian crisis, it does not matter where the resources come from.
Right.
It will be a good idea because this period of time where Somalia is getting a humanitarian crisis, I think the Somali people, the African people, the world and the Arab and all the people who live in the world need us to come together and unite and support these Somali people at the moment. I mean, you cannot differentiate aid, whether they're coming from Europe, whether they're coming from Africa. I'm sure some people, would say because Africa is closer and it is where the crisis is occurring.
And so especially when you consider, many African countries have been through something like this, whether it's drought, whether it's famine, whether it's instability, whether it's civil war themselves. So they know from experience how destructive it can be.
Yes, but the scale of a food distribution treatment, actually, it is so great. And urgent medical care for the malnourished is needed. And all because the Europeans has more resources than Africans, so they can help it. But also the responsibility is on the shoulders of the Africans who are very close in the continent and also close to the Somalia. Yes, I agree with you. Because as you can see now in Mogadishu, even the local community are trying to help those people. And every little help is. And without the local communities, without Africa, without even neighboring countries, as you can see in Kenya also, where thousands and thousands are coming across into the border and coming to the refugee camps also, this is the time. It's a massive relief effort is needed.
It certainly is, Fahana. It certainly is. Let me bring things back to the studio. Bafour, I know you're a proud African man, but maybe the thing we should conclude from this is we shouldn't see things in terms of Western or Eastern or Southern aid. It's just humanitarian aid. And wherever it comes from, which is what Fahana was saying, the people will be grateful to receive it.
I agree on that, because if you are hungry, you don't really mind whether the food came from London or came from Washington or it came from anywhere else.
So you all see the politics?
Not at all. The problem we have is that one group, Al-Shabaab, is saying that we want these other ones from the West, we don't want them in. And
so if they don't want them in, then, where should it come from?
That's what I'm saying. The food, even in the certain tip where Al-Shabaab controls, we can give the food to groups like the local groups, Somali groups, who can go to the Al-Shabaab areas to distribute. The food can come from USA, come from anywhere. And I agree with our brother in Kenya. The Western world has much more capacity when it comes to things like this. And even our AU is bankrolled by the EU. Yeah. Without them, we have no AU. So we need, let them, if they will not allow them to go to the Al-Shabaab areas, let's give the food to the African groups, to the local Somali groups, who can go there and distribute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the people who live down there, who are suffering, who are dying, would mind whether the food came from the West or came from the East at all.
Mm. It's the big question is the infrastructure, because we've been here so many times over the past number of decades. When are African countries, either as a regional kind of group or locally and individually, going to do something about this, to get this infrastructure in place so that next time something happens, one doesn't have to wait for outsiders to come in and get relief to the people?
As of Hans said, this is a humanitarian crisis, and the people who are dying, just what they really need is help and support. So, for example, if we put aside in the Western world, We do have here some of the African continent. We do have here organization of Islamic countries.
Yeah. Islamic Relief.
We do have
the Red Crescent.
We do have here some Arab League.
Yes.
There are too many other, for example, international NGOs. Why they don't come and help? Mm-hmm. The Al-Shabaab, actually, for example, they banned, the main international NGOs.
Yes.
But what happened in the other parts of the world?
Yeah.
Why they don't come and help and support the people?
Some of them are.
Dying.
I believe Islamic Relief will be there. The Red Crescent is already getting involved.
No single international NGOs who provided so far a tangible support, except a Qatar charity.
Yeah.
Who actually have been there for the last few weeks. Where are they? Yeah. The other international NGOs. Our brothers in African continent don't mobilize whatever they can?
Well, they say they are going to on August the 9th, so perhaps we'll have another look at it then. Thank you very much indeed. And that's it for today. Thanks to all those of you who've sent in comments to us. Email africa@presstv.co.uk or text us to +44 7800 00 8086. Messages will be charged at your local operator rates. Many thanks to our guests. They were Abdullahi Osman, director of the Somali London-based organization Access for Support and Development Center, Bafour Ankoma, editor of New African, and from Nairobi, Kenya, Farhan Ali Ahmed, the secretary general of the Somali Concern Group. Voice is back next week for another edition of Africa Today. Till then, it's goodbye from me, and on behalf of the whole team, thanks again for watching.